Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Red Hot Comic Book Movie News. Shooting up your butthole.
Shouldn't be tapping because I haven't muted this.
Not muted at all. I was doing some finger snaps to get in the groove. You know how I always do my finger snaps.
That's how you always do.
Yeah. I'm like, James, total silence, absolute silence. No speaking. I will do my fun. We'll do our fun finger snaps.
Exactly.
Modern day Adams Family in here.
Isn't that coming back or whatever?
Probably. Maybe it's already.
They're on a Wednesday Adams show? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Anyways, welcome back everybody to another episode of the Weekly Planet where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. And with me as always is my co-host, Snappity Snap Nick Mason.
That's right. The bloody earth is shaking for bloody news content.
You're not wrong, Mason. Are you talking about because there was... Oh, no. You know when the drink opens and it doesn't open properly?
Yeah.
Fuck.
You could attack it with something sharp. He's doing it. He's opening... Wow, look, I was worried that we wouldn't have any content to start the show, but James is smashing open a can of kombucha using a USB cable.
And it worked.
Wow, he's... Yeah. You're a real modern-day Neanderthal, James.
In a way. Yeah. I am. I think I'm what every modern man aspires to be, masculine.
That's true. Just grunting strong, and smashing.
Grunting and smashing. You know what I mean?
We had an earthquake in Melbourne. How did you?
I was asleep and it woke me up and I'm like, oh, very inconvenient. I don't like that. It was fine. What about you?
I was awake but in bed and the place was shaking and I'm like, is this a bloody workman downstairs? What's going on? And then it just kept going and like stuff started shaking all about me and I'm like,
I got to get down to this party that's happening, you thought.
I'm like, and then it stopped and I'm like, ultimately my response to an earthquake is to do nothing. Just let it ride out and hope I don't get crushed by anything. But anyway, James, my bloody place looks like a bomb hit it. So no change there then, am I right?
Bloody $0 worth of damage, am I right? Because he lives in a rat's nest, this guy. Just a pile of broken sticks and rags that he lives in. Anyway,
that happened. And now, look, it was a struggle between talking about that today or talking about like bloody footy finals fever.
Footy finals fever.
We both have footy finals fever.
That's
currently
true. Do you have footy finals fever?
Yeah.
I think that might be regular fever.
Oh, no. I'm bleeding from my ears. Is that footy
That's footy finals fever. So this week we're talking about the return of Fantastic Beasts, some stuff coming to Disney Plus, some Marvel Disney kind of suing situations.
Oh, suing each other?
They're suing each other.
Nice, Marvel good. And Disney, finally. Yep. Finally. And then we get to pick up the pieces.
That's right. Roald Dahl news, a quick look at Peacemaker and some other trailers. Batman Day happened and one thing I want to mention.
And Batman had footy finals fever.
A potential other Supergirl show. Doctor Who news, Super Mario Brothers
Hughes,
news.
Please.
Doctor Hughes. Super Mario Brothers news in terms of the movie.
Yeah.
Some other stuff related to that. What else we got?
The guy from Sex and the City died.
Oh, yeah, he did die. Mm. What's his name? His name in the show was something, and his name in real life was
also something. I had it yesterday as well. I'm like, oh, it's so sad that guy died.
I like that guy. He did finish his role in the new series.
Ah, okay.
So that's good, I guess, if you're a big fan of that series. His name is, here we go, why is Vince Vaughn in the cast ahead of this on, is Vince Vaughn even in Sex and the City? I guess he is. His name is Willie Garson. Mm. Yeah, he played Stanford. That's bad news.
Ah, but good news, James. Mm. I don't know why I mentioned
that. Oh, and then we do Star Wars Visions and also Star Wars Controversy this week.
Oh, is there?
You see one of the editors of Star Wars.
I did see that.
These are bullshit. Well, you're not just the editor. We'll talk about
okay,
it.
Okay, right. Yeah. I was going to say, time cones below. Fun segue from death to life.
Yeah.
Life that is podcasting. I was on an episode of Total Reboot.
I listened
followed,
to it.
Followed in your footsteps.
Yeah.
They were doing a little mini-series on Man versus Machine. So you did an episode about The Terminator.
I did.
I did an episode about RoboCop. Had a grand time.
Bitter comic book rivals, but not in the movies that they can't cross.
Can't cross for legal reasons. yeah, that's true. And yeah, people should check it out. We had a lot of fun, both those episodes.
Yeah.
Good fun. They're funny boys. They know what they're talking about, which is really good.
They're just great. Yeah. And that was really, like, Zoom podcasts are hard to do, but... That was a good one. I enjoyed that one thoroughly.
I learned a little bit of a lesson about Zoom podcasts and life.
Yeah, I agree.
But also, if you want to check them out, they also did an episode on 2001: A Space Odyssey.
Yes.
They did a series recently on food on film.
Mm-hmm.
They talked about Chef, and they talked about that Bradley Cooper vanity project, Burn.
Oh, yeah. I still haven't seen that. Burnt Notice.
Burnt Notice. He's like, right, exactly right.
Oh, Burn Notice gets a mention in your podcast as well.
Yeah.
So I thoroughly enjoyed that. They're good fun and know what they're talking about. And you were there too. So that's great.
I had to lift my game. Because on this podcast, I'm just like, whatever, man.
You thought about some shot composition.
And I had a fun Zoom background, which you didn't see.
I didn't see that. Did they mention it?
No, it was an off-air joke just for my real pals.
Yeah. That's true. Speaking of an
it was my weird RoboCop collector cards.
Oh,
like one of the guy being melted by the toxic waste, and then the one of Murphy getting his arm shot off. For kids.
Kids love that.
Yeah.
Also, just quickly, we did a Daredevil 2003 commentary for the extended cut. That's at BigSandwich.co. It's there if you want to check it out. If you want to sign up, there's a bunch of commentaries and bonus podcasts. It's
and we had
below.
A we had a real fun, positive time, and then we clicked stop. And then you went to find it on the computer and you're like, boy, did this not record?
Doesn't seem to be here.
And we're like, ooh.
But then it was there. Then it just appeared. There. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
Now, you're probably very excited for this. The next Fantastic Beasts movie is called Fantastic Beasts, but in very small text. And then in big text.
How are we going to sell this to people who don't like Fantastic Beasts?
Exactly. The secrets of Dumbledore? What are his secrets?
Great question. What's under that robe? Just the suit he wears in the previous movie?
Maybe. And then Dick and Balls. You go deeper.
Is he gonna? Is he gonna switch? Is there gonna be a moment in this movie where he's like,
"I've given up."
Yeah, I don't care. It's too tight. This suit's too tight.
I commented on Twitter that I'm like, I need to know the explanation of why he was like Jude Law and then why he's like Michael Gambon. And people are like, well, you know, people age or whatever. I'm like, it's not the age.
Mm.
It's the.
It's the style.
Why does
switch,
he look like this?
Right? Yeah.
Like, I know he's older. Like, he's like 150 years old or whatever the fuck he is. But, like, that's so wild.
Yeah.
Also, we've seen flashbacks and he doesn't dress like that. He just wears his wizarding robes and they're horrible. He wears horrible robes.
Yeah, unflattering. It's not that they're, it's not even that they're wizarding robes. They're just unflattering robes.
Yeah.
Do you think maybe he went to a costume party as like a stereotypical wizard?
He's like, look at this.
Isn't this funny? People are like, that really suits you. And he's like, and I'm comfy. That's good.
I'm going to give up.
Yeah. I don't care anymore.
Had enough.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway, wild. Oftentimes we're like, we don't need to see the origin of the whatever or the vest or the blaster.
No, this is...
Or the name Solo.
This is the exception to
that
rule.
We want to know. We want to know in very, very specific detail. We want to know why he switched over. I maybe want to see a movie where maybe he changes.
Yeah.
Maybe like one day he's like, I'm not wearing my jacket today. I'm going to wear a robe, like a dressing gown over the top of that. That'd be more comfortable.
I also,
he does it in stages.
Exactly. I also think Dumbledore should be in jail because I think he might have killed his sister and he used Harry Potter to like slaughter him. He basically raised Harry Potter to be... to be murdered by Voldemort and whatever. For the greater
child endangerment.
Child endangerment in general. Maybe check out the big snake that lives under your school, mate.
Maybe.
If I was a teacher and there was a big snake under the school, I mean under my classroom specifically, and I knew something was up and students were being murdered, I would probably be in trouble.
You know, James, with the lens of an adult, like watching these movies, maybe reading the books or whatever, a lot of this stuff doesn't stack up, logically speaking.
That's right.
I don't know if I'm the first person to say that. But,
you might be. You might be.
Yeah, I don't know. A lot of stuff's bad and weird. And why do you even learn magic if you go out and you don't use it when you're an adult? I don't understand.
You just become an accountant or whatever.
Just become a magic accountant. Seems boring.
It does seem boring. We'll talk about it.
Or is the idea the perspective? Like when you is the idea that like is it from the perspective of the kids? And when you look at adults, they're all doing boring stuff, but in reality, they're doing exciting stuff. Is maybe that it?
All the exciting stuff they're doing is like rule breaking stuff, though.
Yeah.
Like their jobs are no good.
Yeah, that's true.
Like they're like one of them's like, I work at Muggle Affairs, and it's like, great man. So you speak to like regular people. So like I do. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
Anyway, people have asked, when are you going to do the next Harry Potter?
We've got two left,
Two left. We'll do it sometime between now and probably the first trailer. We'll probably.
And the Secrets of Dumbledore. Is that what it's called? I've already forgotten.
Yeah, Secrets of Dumbledore.
I knew it!
What are we. What was big text? So you know. Yeah. Are they doing the Wizarding War? They should have just called these the Wizarding War movies.
That'd be cool.
Wizard War.
But then people will be like, but is Dumbledore involved?
Yes.
Yeah.
He was. He defeats Grindelwald.
Do you reckon they would do like a. Do you reckon they would do like a. Get some of the Harry Potter characters, like they do a time travel thing or whatever, and they fight in the war?
Definitely not.
You don't think they would?
But I don't think they will. But I think they're going to – because the next – the sequels,
yep.
which they will make, that's time travel and whatever. I don't know if you've ever seen it. But
The Cursed Child. Yeah, okay, right. And then they're boring.
No, I think it's a solid –
the characters are boring.
I mean, yeah, because Harry Potter's like a cop.
Yeah.
And Hermione – maybe works at a bank. I don't know.
No, it's Magic Bank.
Magic Bank. I don't know. I don't think she works at a bank. I can't remember. Okay, anyway.
Wouldn't that be cool? You get the – I mean, I don't know if it would be cool.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what if you were like, okay, the reason I Dumbledore, you know, encouraged these kids to learn and whatever because I knew that they would come back in time and
oh, yeah. I'm not against it.
Yeah. Because they have the time turner thing, right?
Yeah. The time turners are only supposed to work to a certain something.
Ah.
But some don't.
So they definitely can't take you back to World War II.
I don't want to spoil anything, but maybe they can.
Can they take you back to the sweet times?
Everything is going to be all right in the summertime. Yes.
They can take you back to then.
Definitely can. Anyway, that date has also been moved up, Mason.
Ooh.
I know you'd already cleared your July calendar.
I had.
But you're going to have to fill a bunch of stuff in there.
Ugh.
Because it's moved from that to April 15th of 2022.
Wow.
Secrets of Dumbledore.
Wow.
What are his secrets? What are all these secrets? Maybe one of the secrets should be he just tells everybody he's gay instead of, like, everything but the actual source material.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they won't say it in the movie,
mm-hmm.
but just, like, everything else is like, nah, he definitely is.
Sure.
Say it. Make him kiss somebody on screen. Let's see it.
Make him do it. Wow.
I mean, as
it just pulls back. The scene pulls back, and you can. It's just bits of set, and the director's like, "Do it, do it." And they bring in like a shop steward from a carpenter's union or something like that. He comes in. It's like,
yeah. I just think, why are they dancing around it? I mean, I know why.
You know why? Because they can't. Yeah.
Because they're cowards. They're absolute cowards.
Yeah.
Disney Plus Day, Mason. I know you've cleared your calendar on November 12th. So there's a bunch of things coming. I'm going to name some things and stop me when you think any of these are exciting.
Okay.
A special celebrating the Marvel Cinematic Universe on Disney Plus with an exciting look towards the future.
I'll stop there. You said exciting.
Yeah.
And therefore, yep.
Yep, right. Good. Excellent. Good. Jungle Cruise.
Not exciting.
What about this? Nah, I've got one for you.
Well, so that's already available.
No, but it's free now.
James.
Yep.
James.
Yes.
You've nailed it.
The new Disney Plus original movie, Home Sweet Home Alone, a reimagining of the popular holiday franchise.
Huh. Home Sweet Home Alone.
Home Sweet Alabama Home Alone. I think it's Rob.
The Rock.
No, what's
The Rock is Kevin
what's
McAllister.
What's the dude in? He's in some Fast and the Furious movies and he's in.
Vin Diesel.
No, and he hates his wife in the show he hates with Sharon Horgan.
Oh, Rob Delaney.
Rob Delaney's in it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, I like him.
Yeah, so there you
as
go.
As the kid, as the little
yeah,
boy.
Yeah, he's a little boy.
Okay,
he's
great.
He's a little boy with a
They're
giant
They're
going
to use the Deadpool technology to make him a little
Exactly.
Boy.
That's got Aisling Bee.
Yep.
It's Carol, the mum, I assume. No, is she? Ali Kemper is in it.
Okay.
Pete Holmes is in it.
It's a good cast.
Keenan-Michael Key, Chris okay. Parnell. It's a good, and the kid is Archie Yates.
Okay. Are they all in the same family?
Andy Daly? I don't know.
That's a great cast. All right. Here's the thing. Sounds great. Great cast. Don't know if it'll be any good.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe it's a different perspective. Maybe it's the perspective of the adults just panicking for days because they're like, we left a kid somewhere.
Yep.
We don't know where the kid is.
And they get back and he's dead because he's a kid.
Yeah.
And that's what would happen.
Yeah.
And what about this one? A new short from The Simpsons that pays tribute to Disney Plus's marquee brands.
Yuck. Yuck.
You're not a fan?
Yucko.
What about this one? Shang-Chi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that going to be premium access before that, though?
I don't know. They haven't clarified this because it's supposed to be out. You can buy it 45 days after, which would make it mid-October,
yeah.
Which is what I was hoping for.
Same.
And if that doesn't happen,
yeah.
Then it will be available on November 12th. But hopefully we should be out of lockdown by then and we'll be able to see it at cinemas.
Yeah, cinemas are reopening in Melbourne at least.
26th
of October, yeah. So.
We'll see, maybe.
Well, we will see, won't we?
It's a pretty long 2-week lockdown, Mason, am I right? They initially said 2 weeks and now it's been 100 weeks or whatever.
Yeah.
I love it.
This, I don't love it, and I question your mental state.
That's why you're in the city
it.
At the Shrine. Yeah. Is that you?
Yeah, that was me.
There's a local reference that maybe made international news. I don't know.
Yep.
Here we go. This is also in relation to Disney Marvel because they've decided that the works of Iron Man, Spider-Man, Doctor Strange, Ant-Man, Hawkeye and Black Widow, the ownership
yes.
might be in jeopardy. Have you seen this? I'm just going to read this article from The Hollywood Reporter because it's just
easier. Do you include Spider-Man there?
I think, yes, he is in here, yes.
Okay.
So,
ownership could be in jeopardy.
Well, it won't be, but I'll just explain what's going on. So Disney's Marvel...
This is clickbait and we're indulging the clickbait.
Correct.
Okay, great.
Disney's Marvel unit is suing to hold on to full control of Avengers characters, including Iron Man, Spider-Man, Doctor Strange, Ant-Man, Hawkeye, Black Widow, Falcon, Thor, and others.
So who is suing? Disney.
Disney Marvel.
And who are they suing? Maybe we'll find out.
Mason.
Okay, cool, great.
Doesn't say.
I'm just clarifying it for the people, not me...
Yep.
People who can't quite follow a sentence.
Yes, exactly.
You know? Not me, though. I can.
You seem to understand.
Yeah, I understand things.
The complaints, which the Hollywood Reporter has obtained, come against the heirs of mm-hmm. some late comic book geniuses, including Stan Lee, Steve Ditko, and Gene Colan. Mm-hmm. The suit seeks declaratory relief that these blockbuster characters are ineligible for copyright termination as works made for hire. If Marvel loses, Disney would have to share ownership of the characters worth billions. So in August, Ditko's estate filed a notice of termination on Spider-Man, which first appeared in the comics in 1962.
Yep.
So under the termination provisions of the copyright lawsuit, authors and their heirs can reclaim rights once granted to publishers after waiting a statutory set period of time.
Okay.
Basically, these are expiring.
So is it 70 years? How old? 62?
60 years. Okay, 60. I think 60 years.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Okay. And there is a chance,
mm-hmm.
albeit a very slim one,
yeah.
that the rights revert.
If, for example, the estate of Stan Lee, Steve Ditko, Gene Colan, et cetera, can somehow acquire tens to hundreds of millions of dollars to fight a legal battle,
yeah.
then they can definitely acquire the rights to these characters.
But even then, I think this is just preemptive. This is just in case. Because they... own, like these, they will work for hire.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And Marvel owns these brands. It could make the argument that they've built these, they could and they would.
Yeah.
They've built these brands up to what they are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But it is that case of like, it's the same lawsuit that has, you know, or the same
the
legal.
Superman one.
The Superman one. Pretty much every work for hire comic book
yep.
deal of like, you know, well, we made this as a throwaway thing or like a, you know, or even, you know, maybe they, you know, made it as a significant, you know, creation, but they sold it work for hire because they never knew that it would become a $1 billion industry.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Had they known, they might have held out for more money. But, I mean, you know, who's to know?
But they won't win this.
No.
Also, they're being preemptively struck, a lot of these people. Like they're not.
With a car?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Well, that's what you got to do.
Yeah, it's business.
And business is hitting people with cars.
Yeah.
Tesla, more than anybody knows that.
They've gotten the Terminator 3 Arnie to like unearth like the coffin of like Steve Ditko. He's got it on his shoulder. He's just machine gunning people. He's like, I'm gonna chuck it off a bridge. That's the power they wield.
That's right.
These days, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, but again, like, and obviously they're thinking like a corporation. The simplest solution would be to be like, hey, the estates of Steve Ditko and all these people. Here's millions of dollars each. But then,
I think that's what it might come down to.
Yeah.
Like an out-of-court settlement.
But then obviously everybody from like 1962 onwards who's created anything for Marvel would then go, okay, well, I created this for Marvel and then it was used on a lunchbox and then it was used I created the Absorbing Man and he appeared on one episode of Agents of
S.H.I.E.L.D. It was
Shield,
in that
so.
Disney Plus Simpsons special.
Exactly, of the brand marketing synergy or whatever it is. Yeah. And I mean, I think probably, like, you know, in a just universe, those people should get compensated for the fact that they got put on a lunchbox or an action figure or made an appearance in a TV series or whatever. But obviously their idea is like, well, if we do it for these guys, it'll open the floodgates and then we won't have billions of dollars for our shareholders or whatever.
I think there is a chance that they do it for the estates of like Ditko and Stanley because they are the biggest creators.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But anybody smaller than that.
But here's the thing also. I wonder if people would go, you know, they could, again, like they attempted to turn the public against Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
I wonder if they'd go, well, You know, they would weigh up the PR costs as well. And I think they might go, well, Stan Lee created a million characters, Steve Ditko created a million characters, but the estates of Stan Lee and Steve Ditko, what did they do?
Yeah.
Like his descendants, like his kids or whatever, what did they do? Nothing.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Good point.
Why, I'm on the Marvel legal team, so.
Pardon me.
And I'm just the guy who's just, I'm just asking questions.
I'm just playing devil's advocate.
I'm just here in the law, I'm just here in the court. I'm just.
I'm just representing the common man.
Yeah, Marvel, Disney, Disney, Marvel. But I mean, we knew they were going to do this because it's Disney. Their whole deal
has been shooting down copyright
and extending copyright.
Yeah.
And using their own using
their own IP to extend copyright laws for literally everything,
and getting public domain stuff and using that for free. Yeah. And
exactly. So business is booming.
Yep.
Great.
Good for them. Yeah.
I mean, part of me is like, wouldn't it be cool if like these characters went into the public domain and then we could just get an infinite number of whatever? But then the fear of that is a lot of Sherlock's bad, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I was thinking that the other day because, you know, that Sherlock obviously, but you know, we've been talking about a lot of Bond stuff.
Yeah.
And I think as we mentioned, you know,
Skyfall this week.
Yeah. There was a writer called Kevin McClory, and he wrote an original script treatment with Ian Fleming, and then Ian Fleming turned that into a book without his knowledge, and so Kevin McClory got the rights to make a Bond movie, and he just had the rights to make a Bond movie in his back pocket for decades.
Yeah,
like what a wild situation. Like imagine if somebody was like,
and he did once.
Yeah, well, he made Never Say Never. Well, they got him to. We talk about this all the time, but I love talking about it. Mm. They brought him in as a producer on Thunderball and said, okay, we'll give you that role and that, you know, the money and the prestige and all that sort of stuff and the experience to make this movie. In any exchange, you can't make your movie for 10 years. And I think they were like, well, if he gets Thunderball out of his system, he won't want to make Thunderball again. Because that was he could only make movie with those plot elements. And then he just didn't. Like he was like, nah, Spite is a very strong motivator. I will make my
movie. And he had Connery, who was also filled with Spite.
Yeah.
And there was a movie, it was 83, was it? There was competing James Bond.
Yeah, it was
Bond
Octopussy,
movies.
I think, they were competing with. But anyway, wow. I think it'd be very funny if somebody was just like, I wrote two issues of Iron Man in like 1964, and due to a fun loophole, I can actually make my own Iron Man movie.
Yeah.
But it can only be one where he fights Egg Foo, because that's the story I wrote. He has to fight Chinese communist villain Egg Foo. It'll do very well in China, though. So
I'd imagine it would. Wow.
Very, very bad.
Yeah, it depends how the story ends. I'd imagine the egg is beaten. I'd imagine.
Oh, like an egg would.
Like an egg would. Speaking of estates and such, you brought this to my attention, but Roald Dahl's work has made a shift, Mason.
As I understand it, Netflix has purchased the Roald Dahl's story company in its entirety, like the whole thing. So they get everything, I guess. They would get...
there's some great titles.
Yeah.
James and the Giant Peach, The BFG, Charlie's and the Chocolate Factory.
Taika Waititi, it says here, according to abc.net.au, the most reliable source of news in Australia, which is to say, I guess it's reliable probably. that's the best we can get here. Kiwi director Taika Waititi is already producing a series adaptation of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, the result of a separate licensing deal the two companies signed 3 years ago that was reportedly worth upwards of $500 million. I didn't know that.
So what are they doing with Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, sorry?
I think that might be separate.
Okay.
Oh, they made a deal with Netflix years ago to do that, and now they're like, well, actually, we'll sell you the whole lot so you can have everything.
Yeah, right.
Okay. The creation of a unique universe across animated and live action films and TV. Do you think it's going to be a Roald Dahl cinematic universe?
There'll be something like that, yeah.
Do you think they're going to do new stuff, or do you think they won't risk it?
I don't think they'll. I mean, maybe they'll do some new stuff, but it's mostly based on the old properties. It's interesting because Roald Dahl, speaking of James Bond, he wrote You Only Live Twice.
Yeah.
In 67. You know what I'd love to see, and they've never done it? An adaptation of Boy, which is about Roald Dahl's childhood. And then there's another one called Going Solo, which talks about his time in World War II.
Huh.
And yes, he's probably anti-Semitic. That is a big part of his
history.
But
they will trim that out and they won't mention it, and there will be articles about it, and then the director will be like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Also, like, I think a lot of that stuff is just like he was racist in the way that everybody was then.
Yeah.
Not to excuse it.
Yeah.
But just like that's just how it was. But people were terrible.
Exactly. You can't always expect a historical figure that has become, you know, a known figure now to just have rejected all the societal, you know, trends at the time and be like,
it's naive. You're being naive.
I know I'm going to be a beloved children's author in the future, so I'm gonna be like
this Netflix deal.
Yeah, so. I'm not gonna be racist right now.
Yeah.
So
there you go.
I know, I'm very progressive.
What would you like to see though?
Another Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Ah. Did you write that? Was that Ian Fleming?
Maybe. I think it was Ian Fleming. Was it? I don't know. I closed my tab.
Yeah.
So there you go. Again, boy going solo. I've always liked Danny, the champion of the world. I love the wonderful story of Henry Sugar.
I don't know what that is.
Which is a story about a guy who goes to India to learn a mystical power so he can see through playing cards and cheat at gambling.
Huh. That's his whole goal, isn't it?
Yeah, but like in doing so, he becomes enlightened and decides to use it for good.
Oh, okay.
So he travels the world. And he uses like prosthetics and he just goes to the casino, fleeces them, and then gives the money away to various charities.
It's like a reverse James
Yeah,
Bond.
It's really good. Okay, it's one of my favorite.
Ian Fleming did write Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
He did.
But I would like a gritty reboot of that.
Gritty Bang
Gang Bang.
Tesla.
Okay. How about this? Chitty Chitty Bang Bang versus Knight Rider.
Sure. That car would kill Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
No, not necessarily. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang's magical. Something.
I don't believe you.
Okay, great.
Did you see any trailers this week, Mason? There was that one called Finch about Tom Hanks builds a dog.
I did see that.
Mm. Builds a robot for a dog?
Yeah, the dog was already in existence, yes, okay. Post-apocalyptic, Tom Hanks, he's built a robot.
Yep.
The robot's like, ah, Tom Hanks, pretty all right.
And he's like, yeah, I'm a beloved actor.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting because they're like, if it feels kind of like they went, okay, what about Tom Hanks, post-apocalyptic future, he becomes friends with a dog, and they're like, not enough. Robot? Give him a robot friend.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited for this. Apple Plus, I always say this. There'll be some pretty
Are you a robot? Because it sounds like you are. You're like, oh, I'm excited for
my
this.
First role in cinema. Some more representation. Yeah, I think it looks good and excited and whatever. Apple, again, does good stuff. But there's also a look ahead of what's coming to HBO Max. And we got some clips of And Just Like That, the Sex and the City sequel series. Mm-hmm. Hopefully Mr. Big's going to die, terrible character. Actually, I'd love a few of those people to die. Not in real life, just to clarify. Mm-hmm. Just a few of those characters just to die because they're mostly awful. Yeah. Peacemaker, did you see some clips of that?
Some snippets of Peacemaker? Yeah, we got our first look at the Vigilante, who's a a favourite character of mine, although he has a terrible name insofar as he's a character called the Vigilante in a world where there are hundreds of vigilantes.
Yes.
Like, try harder, mate. Come on.
Yeah, right.
What are you doing?
Do you think that'll come up?
Maybe.
It'll be a meta commentary.
I mean, if not, there's some free dialogue for you, James Gunn. I mean, I know you've already filmed it, but maybe just some really bad ADR over the top. Just take the clip of what I've said.
He's probably wearing a mask. You can say it.
Yeah,
it's fine. And also, we haven't seen these yet because they are out. They're not out yet as time of recording, but there are going to be trailers for Sandman and Cowboy Bebop for Netflix.
Oh, okay, cool.
There were some posters, though, which we did see. Yeah. And very interesting.
I'm going to look up very quickly just to see who else is in Peacemaker, like what other characters are in Peacemaker.
It's the crew from the from the whatever.
Go on.
You know, they're in the like Steve, like King Agee.
Steve Agee,
who played King Shark.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
the body, not the voice.
The
and Jennifer something.
Nice, great. Good stuff.
She's on the mic. She's one of the people on the mic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Task Force X people.
Yeah.
But it's interesting.
Jennifer Holland.
There we go.
Yeah. Robert Patrick's in it.
John Economos.
Okay. Robert Patrick, there you go. You like him,
I do like Robert Patrick. There you go.
Mm.
Peacemaker's father. That's cool. Okay, but as far as costumed characters going, we've got Peacemaker and the Vigilante. Okay,
yes.
That's cool. All right.
What's the Vigilante's real name?
Adrian Chase.
I'm going to say then.
Well, there's been a few of them.
Freddie Stromer.
Looks good to me. Yeah, there's been a few. I guess because the original The Vigilante was like a Western character.
Okay.
And I guess there was only one Vigilante then.
Only one Vigilante?
Man with a gun.
But
this guy. What's interesting also because this Adrian, the Adrian Chase Vigilante is also a guy who's sort of a man out of time because he was like a lawyer and he's like, oh, these criminals are always getting away because of loopholes and I'm gonna stop that. And it's like, are they really getting away with like I've got to shoot him in the streets because not enough people are being shot in the streets. Like a lot of people are these days. I don't know.
Seems that way, doesn't it?
Yeah. I don't know how they're gonna play that, but cool. Great.
Cool and great.
Cool and great.
Did you know it was Batman Day, Mason?
Yes.
And Andy Muschietti, who's working on the new Flash movie, which is just a Batman movie, posted an image. Did you see it?
I did. It was a Batman, like an 89 Batman suit, like the chest piece, spray painted red, and then it had the Flash lightning bolt across it. So many people have speculated, James, and maybe you've got that here, that it might be the Red Death, who is a there was recently a sort of company-wide DC crossover called Dark Knights Metal and a bunch of spin-offs and stuff like that, whereas a bunch of evil Batman from various – from what's called the Dark Multiverse, which is like the upside-down version of the regular multiverse. And it's all of them – it's just a bunch of Batman who've gone evil and have, in a lot of instances, have like acquired powers from other characters. Like
some of them have chains, don't they?
Some of them have chains and masks and they look like Judge Death or whatever.
And Slipknot and whatever.
Slipknot. They look like Slipknot. It's the band Slipknot. But yeah, one of them, and a lot of them have sort of acquired powers from other heroes. So like one of them will kill their universe's Green Lantern and get the Green Lantern ring or whatever. So this one, clearly, if this is the case, it might be a version who's killed his Flash, which would be the John Wesley Ship Flash.
Oh no!
I know, right?
Now you said you might have that here in my notes, and yes. I have exactly that.
Oh, terrific.
Like even word for word, exactly as you said it, and my interruptions were also written here.
That's cool, man.
Incredible stuff.
We're a good team, I think.
In synchronicity.
A lot of people say we're a bad team.
Who says that?
A lot of people say.
Who says that?
A lot of people say we talk over each other. And they don't
who says that?
They don't specifically say that I'm constantly talking over you when I think of something interesting to say. They say we talk over
both
each
of us
other.
Equally,
and so it's not a problem.
Okay, good.
What they say.
It's tit for tat.
Yes.
As it were. I get it. Good stuff.
What did you think it was?
I didn't think about it. Okay. I didn't have any notes.
Well, it might not be. I mean, it could also just be like
the Flash is like, aha, I've sprayed the suit.
Well, exactly. It also could just be like a Michael Keaton Batman. He falls through the time stream and he gets the
gets some powers. And
he gets the Speed Force powers, and then he's like, well, I better put a lightning bolt on my chest for some reason.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he can do it quickly because he's got the Speed Force powers.
Nice.
There we go. Supergirl might be getting a TV series. This is the Sasha Kalle version.
Finally.
This is the new version, which is going to show up in the Flash movie that's just a Batman movie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's going to be a substantial amount of Flash in this Flash movie, though. Don't you think?
I don't know. I don't know, man. I just had this tab open and I just wanted to read the headline here. This is from The Guardian regarding Roald Dahl and the acquisition. The title is Netflix Roald Dahl's Netflix's Roald Dahl universe would be a golden ticket to despair.
Wow.
that's fun.
What does that mean, though?
I don't know. Let's find out. Bum, bum, bum. At this stage, it is abundantly clear that not everyone can pull off a shared universe. Dark Universe, anyone?
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Mm.
I know he's mentioned the Dark Universe. he says that the shared universe is a very, very hard thing to make success of. Oh, okay. I think he's suggesting what we've suggested, that maybe there'll be a shared universe, but I don't know if there will. Anyway, I just think it's just...
And then you have a team up at the end.
Yes.
And James and the Giant Peach fights Willy Wonka or whatever.
And bring down the BFG finally. With spears and cables and crush his head with a big hammer once they've brought him down on the ground.
I couldn't watch that movie, even though apparently it's quite good, the new one.
Because the face is so unpleasant of the BFG.
No, not even that. I don't like his, and I hate it in the book, I hate his speech pattern.
Oh, right.
It's just, I mean, I like the idea and I like that book in general, but just these very upsetting speech pattern. Mm. Anyway.
I think this article is suggesting that if they did a Dahl-iverse, if you will, it would be quite difficult to pull off.
The Dahl.
But I'm saying, I don't know if there's a Dahl universe?
The Dahl universe.
Very, okay, good. We've got it, folks. Okay. I was against it, but now let's make it happen because we've got the Dahl universe. Very cool.
Normally you come up with the names, but I've come up with the name.
Tit for tat. It's equal.
There we go. But on the topic of this Supergirl series, the second one, looks like Michael Keaton might play a role.
Yes.
And according to the hashtag show, the show would delve into Supergirl's origin and both what led her to appearing in The Flash and what comes next.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
I love it. It's cool.
He loves it, everybody.
Yeah. Are they setting up Keaton to be like your Sam Jackson,
Nick Fury
guy?
That's been the speculation.
Yeah, right.
Why wouldn't you? Affleck's probably not going to do it.
That's true.
And I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
They haven't even asked me. I'd do it if they asked me.
Sure.
I'll do it.
Yeah.
But they haven't asked me yet. Hit me up on Patreon.
Hey, I think, there's a disaster of epic proportions happening over in that parallel universe. And people are like, who are you? And you're like, I'm on YouTube.
They asked me.
They asked me and I'm on YouTube. I've got two plaques. I've got the 100,000 plaque and I've got the 1,000,000 plaque.
I haven't put in for the 1,000,000 plaque.
Oh, my God. Hey, where's your 1,000,000 plaque? If you're so...
I haven't put in for it. I haven't applied. No. I'm not even verified on YouTube.
I haven't even applied for it. Supergirl. Sorry.
Whenever I comment on someone else's YouTube channel and it gets noticed, the top comment to me is normally top comment. There's normally not very many. But it's just like, why aren't you verified? And I'm like, I've never even looked into it. I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, it's fine, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Are you excited for Doctor Who?
No.
Let me change your mind.
Okay, great.
Let me change your mind just now.
With a simple sentence.
Yes.
Here we go.
Dalek Universe.
Oh, my God. Tie it in all together. Yes.
British properties, you know?
Mm.
No, Russell T. Davis will return as Doctor Who showrunner in 2022, taking over from Chris Chibnall?
Chris Chibnall.
Who's doing the current, who will see out the Jodie Whittaker run.
Yep, yep.
This coincides with the 60th anniversary of the show. And, of course, this is significant because Russell T. Davis is the person who relaunched modern Doctor Who.
That's right.
In 2005.
Mock-to-Who.
Mock-to-Who, he said.
Modern Doctor Who.
And I think this is good news. He's been doing some stuff since then. Did you watch Years and Years, which is about, like, Britain, but
no, I didn't say that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was sort of like Children of Men, but without the,
yeah, it's
the
very
fertility
unpleasant.
Crisis. I saw the trailer and I'm like, is that sci-fi or is it not sci-fi? It looks kind of like sci-fi.
Both. I think at the end it gets a bit kind of like, oh, love overcame and whatever. And I'm right. No, that's not what would happen.
What's bloody? Is that gonna fix the bloody sandwich shortage?
Mm.
Is it?
Mm.
Russell T. Davis? Is it? No.
Is there a sandwich shortage?
Maybe.
Oh, no.
I'll have to check with the Rate My Takeaway guy to see.
You are a big fan. He would know. He's at the forefront.
I'm a huge fan of that guy.
Mm.
He's just there. He's just.
And these are places you'll
never. He's just trying a new thing for the first time.
This is some places like you'll never visit as well.
But it gives you, it's like, what if I did eat a pasta?
You don't like that other famous guy who reviews food or whatever?
Don't know who that guy is.
You know, the guy, he wears a suit and he's like.
I don't like that.
Hello. I'm eating a Burger King burger or whatever.
Wow.
You know that guy?
Sounds relatable to me.
Fuck's his name.
I don't know.
Anyway, he's very popular.
Okay. I like the Rate My Takeaway guy.
I know. He's
yet to be cancelled.
He's a common man.
Yeah, I've not looked into his backstory enough to know whether he should be cancelled or not.
And he also did a very.
I just send you a screenshot every once in a while. It's
you
like,
do,
hey,
yeah.
I'm eating chips.
I'm eating chips.
I'm eating a pizza for the first time.
I'm eating some big bag of chips out of a rolled up newspaper.
Yeah.
Also, he did a.
It's like he brings his own table. Anyway,
that's right. He does a very English Scandal, which I believe was a Hugh Grant show.
Oh yes.
So he left in 2009, but he's basically responsible for like the Eccleston and then the Tennant era,
yeah.
And also of course Moffat. Did some of those episodes in there and then ended up taking over as showrunner.
Yeah.
But I think Russell T. Davis of the modern Doctor Who showrunners, for me, he's my favorite.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And maybe it's because it hit at the right time for me as well.
I think also like because, you know, we have made a lot of fun both on the podcast and privately of Stephen Moffat's, a lot of his showrunning stuff, of how bad we think it is. But He wrote a lot of great standalone episodes.
Completely agree.
But if you go, hey, modern Doctor Who, what's your favorite? People will be like, oh, the one with the angels, the Blink.
Yeah.
He wrote that, you know. So,
exactly, yeah.
So I think their combination of Russell T. Davies and Stephen Moffat was quite good.
Agreed.
And I wonder if maybe Moffat will come back and write a couple of episodes.
I don't know
what circumstances he left Doctor Who, though, so I don't know. Like, maybe he won't because people were like, your show sucked.
But it didn't, though. I think he did a lot of good stuff. Like, even this, like, we won't get into it. I think
let's get right into it.
No,
let's alienate everybody who loves Doctor Who.
Doctor Who is hit and miss.
No.
Just some of it is good and some of it isn't,
yep.
You know? And it's just the way it is. And it also depends on what you like personally,
yeah.
You know? But you know what?
I like learning.
Me too. I wonder.
Yes. I like the main character being the best character all the time. Everybody loves him. I like that all the time. He's always the best.
I wonder if he's going to bring back David Tennant.
Why? Oh, because.
We can because of time travel, but also he dumped.
What, are you going to add time travel to this show all of a sudden? Ridiculous.
But
it was about learning.
He dumped a parallel dimension.
It's about learning about Queen Elizabeth or whatever.
Exactly. And the Blitz. Mm. But he dumped a human version of the David Tennant Doctor Who in a parallel dimension with Rose.
Oh, yeah, right, sure.
So he could do that. Yep. Look, they're probably going to move forward, which is what they probably should do.
Yeah.
But don't you think that would be cool?
It's interesting. Have they? Because I know, you know, traditionally in the past they've gone like, oh, here's a special and it's the five doctors and they bring back all the, you know, the most recent doctors and they all have an adventure together. And they did that with Tennant and
Matt Smith
and the other guy.
And the other, Peter Capaldi was briefly in it?
I don't know if he was, but it was John Hurt.
John Hurt, yeah. He was the war doctor who, they wanted Eccleston, but they couldn't get him. Yeah.
So I wonder, have they...
I liked that.
But I don't think they've ever done the doctor... is replaced and then a previous version.
No.
They haven't done that. But they have done, I think they mentioned in an episode once that Tenant the Tenant version regenerated into himself.
Yes.
Because he was so vain. Yes. So like, you know, but it was not on camera, but it was just mentioned. So I wonder if they might be like, I just like this look, so I'm bringing it back.
Totally. Again. But I think also like that version, it's got a lot of the most emotionally resonant episodes as well, like the Rose relationship with him and Rose gets lost in the other dimension.
But again, maybe that's just because that was your.
I don't think it's just that. I think there's a reason why maybe it's not as hasn't like it's waned in popularity since in that version.
Yeah, right. Not enough David Tennant crying in the rain.
It's not just that. There's other things that are. But anyway, there's a
David Tennant crying in space.
Exactly. There's a human version of Doctor Who out there that they could use. Yeah. Is what I'm saying. Yeah, sure. And I think they did it on purpose so that if you want to do it when David Tennant is 70, you could. Because he's aging in real time. Because he's a man. He's not a wizard.
A beast.
A beast, yeah. A
fantastic beast.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad. And I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mason, I know you love Super Mario Brothers the movie.
I'd forgotten about Super Mario Brothers the movie.
You've done a video
just
on it.
Just now, the Super Mario Brothers news.
And yes, the Super Mario Brothers news.
Oh, yes.
Super News Rio I've lost it. It's the
Super Newsio Brothers.
Thank you.
It's time for our new ongoing segment. Look, I mean, people know, obviously, we started this podcast in anticipation of Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice.
It's true.
And it's gone on to do moderate things, this podcast.
Yeah.
And why not?
Pivot.
We need a new goal.
We do.
Maybe it's the release of this thing, this animated whatever this thing is.
Yes.
That'll be a thing for a day.
That's right.
When it finally comes out. There was a Nintendo Direct, as
there
I
was.
Understand it. Nintendo's
I do
big,
want to talk
big
about
news roundup.
Yeah.
And they're like, and so let's do Super Newsio Brothers.
Correct. It's from Illumination Studios, who did Minions and other things.
Okay.
It's coming December 2022. And they named a cast. They named the cast.
It's a heck of a cast. It's a big-time cast.
Do you want me to just go through the names and then we'll...
Save the big one for the
okay.
end.
Okay.
Mr. Mario himself.
Good choice. So Anya Taylor-Joy is playing Princess Peach, which I like. I think that's great casting. Charlie Day is Luigi, which
I also
like.
That's
terrific.
Good stuff. And I know the perfect person to pair with that, and it'd be Danny DeVito as Mario. But we'll save that cast until the end.
You can't have Danny DeVito promote this movie in the same way that the person they picked... is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. Sure.
So Charlie Day, yeah. Jack Black is Bowser.
Love it.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Keegan-Michael Key is Toad.
Okay, yep, great.
I like that.
Yeah. I don't know much about Toad. I don't know the
character
of Toad.
Doesn't matter. Seth Rogen yeah. is Donkey Kong, That's which cool. again I love.
But which Donkey Kong, James?
Well, it was
original Donkey Kong, who was Cranky Kong. Or
Kevin Michael Richardson is Kamek. Kamek? I don't know who that is. Fred Armiston is Cranky Kong.
Yeah, right.
And Sebastian.
Original Donkey Kong. I don't know if anybody knows that.
That's right. And Sebastian Maniscalco. So yes. I said that wrong, as Spike. Also, Charles Martinet, who voices a bunch of the characters, including Mario, in the games, he is going to have surprise cameos in the movie. He does It's a Me and the whatever, the bah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they're not going with It's a Me, It's a whatever.
Yeah, yeah. It's a me. It's a whatever. I don't care anymore.
I'm stuck in this butter plant. I know.
I don't care. I'm in a deeper depression. I don't care anymore. It's a whatever.
It's a whatever.
I don't want to jump on the platforms anymore. Oh, maybe I can do it.
You can definitely do
but
it.
As, and they haven't cast Mario yet, so no, maybe Mason. I'm in with a shot.
They went in red hot with Christopher Pratt.
Oh, Christopher Pratt. Christopher Prattley.
Now, on the surface, I hate this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
sure,
I understand why they did it. For one, he's a name who is famous.
That's true.
He can promote
he's
the
got
movie.
Got that fame name.
Yeah, he'll do like a Ryan Reynolds style whatever, you know, and he'll promote it very well.
And he's done other animated
stuff. And he's a good voice actor.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's done the Lego movie.
Mm-hmm.
He's done other voice acting things. I think he was in that one about where I was in my dad's set of legs or whatever. He was in that.
Oh, yeah, he was in the set of legs movie. Yeah,
do
yeah.
you think he's going to be doing some of this?
Great question. I don't know.
I don't think so.
Well, so you think he's just going to be generic man voice?
Probably. But the thing is as well, like, to be honest, I don't want 2 hours of, hey, what's going on? Well, like, I don't want that
because
either.
Here's the thing. So I'm not up to date on modern Mario games at all.
I'm
years behind. So Charles Martinet, who does the Mario voice in the games, and I'm assuming other probably spin-off things, and he probably does a voice
Waluigi, I think, and whatever. I don't know, but he does a voice.
How much talking does Mario actually do?
Not that much.
He does yippee, and he does.
And, oh, no.
And I'm so depressed.
Yeah. I'm going to let down for a minute just on this fire flower.
Yeah, exactly. But like, how much is that sustainable? Like, I'm sure he's not doing big monologues in the game.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, so that is what it is. Like, I totally get it. So he's done.
I'm a head of defeat of the Metal Gear.
So he's done Mario. So the other guy normally does Mario, Luigi, Wario, Waluigi, and Baby.
Everybody
Mario.
Think of Wario clone of me, but I'm a clone of him. That is the biggest secret, Metal Gear style. The franchise has been purchased by Hideo Kojima. He's doing a Mario game.
Oh no! So look, ultimately, I don't think
there's a lot of cutscenes in those games.
Yeah,
so that's the joke.
I think Mario Sunshine talks a lot, maybe.
Okay, right.
Or other people talk a lot. I don't know. I've never actually I own it, but I've never actually played it.
Yeah, I think of Mario as a sort of famously silent protagonist because he's from that era.
Yeah.
He's like Zelda, or you know, the boy
Zelda. He's got a green hat and he runs around. He's got the sword.
Yeah. Or like, you know, Samus from Metroid or whatever. They don't really talk a lot because they didn't talk originally because there was no talking.
You couldn't.
And now they've just become.
Yeah. It was just like a text box that said, oh no. Oh no, I'm so sad. Why do we even bother anymore? Nobody respect me, you know, et cetera.
I'm adjusting to my new medication. It'll be a rough couple of days, but then I'll be fine. You know?
I know.
Yeah, that's what happens.
I love depressed Mario. So, or should it be Depression Mario?
Oh, Depressio?
Depressio.
Notably absent there. And look, this again, it's
fun. He's going to have one of his, one of the buttons on his overalls is undone.
Yeah, and one of his shoelaces is untied and he hasn't noticed. Yeah.
Or shoes wrong feet.
Yeah, his shoes wrong feet will do it. Look, the casting, again, it's, you know, if what they've done there is they've done the damage control already of we didn't give the original Mario voice actor the role of Mario, but we've given him other voices, so he's definitely doing it. And then he's sort of tacitly approving the project.
Yeah, exactly.
And like maybe in years to come, people are like, let's just say I was robbed.
Yeah.
This sucks. I'm so depressed. But but in, you know, in the meantime, they've done the supporting it. They've done the, you know,
exactly
the reverse Ghostbusters, the you know, whatever. But who's Wario and the Waluigi? There's not on the list,
I guess. That we know. Well, it could be that.
I reckon they'll appear at the end. The portal open and they'll be like,
We're the originals. Oh no, my secret. Okay. I'm looking forward to this, though.
Yeah.
I really am. I think it could be really fun. And I liked nearly all of this cast.
Yeah, right.
And even the Chris Pratt thing, I think, will probably end up being fine.
Yeah, well, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Will he do the accent? I don't, you're right. He probably won't.
Maybe, like, hints. Just like, oh, no, every now and then.
Yeah,
whatever.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. So, you know, there you go. Bayonetta.
Or maybe they'll make a joke about it. Maybe they'll be like, hey, what you want me to, you know. Yeah. Yeah, sure, I'm an Italian plumber, but what do you want me to sound like? Oh, hey, yippee, you know, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a me, Mario.
So other announcements that I was excited for,
okay,
or that people are excited for, I guess, are Bayonetta 3. People are waiting. I've never played any Bayonetta, mm-hmm, so maybe I should. Kirby's getting a new 3D game in the Forgotten Land, which I'll definitely be getting. And Nintendo 64 and Sega Mega Drive, or Genesis, if you're not in Australia or Europe, are coming to the
Switch,
online.
The Nintendo Online.
I can finally play, again, one of my favorite games, Lylat Wars.
Yeah.
More commonly referred to as
Star Fox 2,
yeah. What a great game. And I can't believe they haven't made a new, or at least announced a new Star Fox game.
Right? Yet. With
Chris Pratt.
As the voice of Starwing or the frog or whatever, Slippy the Frog.
Yeah. Well, are you going to dip back in any of those Nintendo 64 classics, Mason? Or do you hate the way that they look
and play? I reckon I'd probably be more inclined to give the Genesis stuff a whirl, because that's stuff what I'm...
You can also buy a bunch of that stuff on, like, just cartridges.
Hey, do a barrel roll.
Are you doing a barrel roll?
Or whatever, I don't care. I'm sad. I'm gonna have a look, because I think of those... Of that.
It's a limited announcement of games. And also, that's my favorite version of Mario Kart.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I looked at the... Oh, here's the list. Okay. The stuff that I'm excited about on the Genesis, Strider. Do you remember Strider?
Yeah, vaguely.
Platform game. It was good. Shinobi 3 is on there. Phantasy Star 4. Musha, which was like a side-scrolling shooter.
Don't know.
It was good. Good stuff.
But you can buy like a Sega Mega Drive collection.
Oh, yeah, I definitely like have. I have a little handhold that has them all. I just got to find remember what drawer I put it in, I guess. Okay, but here's the 64. See, because again, I never got into the 64 era, so all of this is...
Read them out. What do we got?
Mario 64.
Love it.
Mario Kart 64.
Actually, no, I played a lot of it because of the 3D All-Stars, and then I'm like, this is a lot of this is unplayable, so I stopped.
Super Mario Depression Quest 64. Yep. He's a depressed.
Yep.
Star Fox 64, Yoshi's Story, Ocarina of Time, Win Back Covert Operations. Never heard of
this. I don't know what that is.
Some of these you go, why have you chosen Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine?
I know it, but I haven't played it. Yeah.
Dr. Mario 64, Sin and Punishment, Mario Tennis 64, Banjo-Kazooie, Pokemon Snap, Majora's Mask, Kirby 64, Mario Golf, Paper Mario, F-Zero X.
It's interesting because they're like there are things missing there like GoldenEye and Perfect Dark, Diddy Kong Racing, Conker's Bad Fur Day. Some of these I think also is because it's a rights thing, you know? There's some Star Wars games like the Rogue Squadron and what's that one called? The Shadow of the Empire.
Oh, yeah.
Which probably will go on because they seem to be repurposing a lot of these.
Yeah.
I'm surprised Wave Race wasn't on there. But again, there's time for all of these things to appear. Where's Pilot Wings? Anyway, it's also an additional cost. So it's a new subscription price which they haven't announced yet.
Well, I don't want to pay any more for those games.
You don't have
to. Most of those games are just like, I remember Musher, I'll just watch it on YouTube. There'll be a long play,
which you'll skip through.
I'll skip through it to the end. I'll be like, there was a cool boss in that game. Oh, not as impressive as I remember.
Exactly.
Well, thumbs down on the video. Thumbs down.
So, there's a book coming out.
Oh.
Or it's recently out called from
the
J.
Bible.
Yeah, the Bible. Mm-hmm. A good book. The J.W. Rinsler's book. It's a producer.
J.W. Rinsler.
It's
okay.
Howard Kazanijan. I don't understand that.
What is this? What is going on
here? A producer's life.
Okay.
Forget all that. There's a book, right? And in it, they spoke
This is not a... We're not pitching the book here.
Like, no.
This book's coming out in every issue. They're very exciting. Big news, this book's coming out.
Just names,
somebody said something sassy or something.
Exactly.
In it.
So, okay, Marshall Lucas...
I understand the structure of sentences and I do not lose my place. I'm doing this for the listeners.
Correct. So I should have said Star Wars news, Mason.
Yep. Great.
So basically there's an interview with Marcia Lucas, and if you don't know, she was the woman who was married to George Lucas.
Oh, hence the name.
Through like the 60s and up to the early 80s maybe. And they divorced and went their separate ways. But she's also probably equally famous, if not more famously known for being an editor on mm-hmm. movies like Taxi Driver and the original Star Wars.
Interesting.
A lot of people say of which she saved that movie in the edit.
Oh.
She's also talked about how that, look, all the pieces were there and I didn't create the world. I just kind of refined a lot of the elements.
Just living it.
Just living it. But,
that's why I wear these Jedi robes.
Yes. But the reason why that movie is paced so well and works mm-hmm. so well, a lot of it is because she just cut a lot of the garbage out of it.
Sure.
And that's
a lot of the garbage mythology.
Exactly.
Sure.
Well, speaking of.
Uh-oh. So, did she do anything in the newer stuff?
Oh, that's what we're here to talk about,
uh-oh.
Mason.
Uh-oh.
So she was asked about the new movies and she said Kathleen Kennedy is a
one. Now, when you say new, the you just new, mean the new trilogy, new. Not the prequels.
We'll get to that
also.
She said, Kathleen Kennedy is
going to be red hot.
That's right.
Now, this is some Star Wars news I can get into. Just rampant speculation and
it's not even speculation. It's just out and out like an attack and you're going to love it.
Just an attack. I love an attack.
She says, Kathleen Kennedy is a wonderful woman, really smart and really bright. And now that she's running Lucasfilm making movies, it seems to me that Kathleen Kennedy and J.J. Abrams don't have a clue about Star Wars. They don't get it, and J.J. Abrams is writing these stories. When I saw that movie where they killed Han Solo, I was furious. I was furious when they killed Han Solo. Absolutely, positively, there was no rhyme or reason to do it. I thought, you don't get the Jedi story, you don't get the magic of Star Wars.
Uh-oh.
You're getting rid of Han Solo, and then at the end of the last one, The Last Jedi, they have Luke disintegrate. They killed Han Solo, they killed Luke Skywalker, and they don't have Princess Leia anymore. And they're spitting out movies every year. They think it's important to appeal to a woman's audience, so now their main character is this female who's supposed to have Jedi powers, but we don't know how she got Jedi powers or who she is. It sucks. The storylines are terrible, just terrible, awful. You can quote me.
Whoa, big stuff.
So I think this echoes like a lot of people's opinions of the sequel movies.
Yeah.
Not necessarily my own. I think there's a lot of good stuff in particular, The Last Jedi. We've talked about it. Mm-hmm. I also like the idea of killing Han Solo, as does Harrison Ford.
He loved it.
As does, and they wanted
to. He probably skipped out, like, that day, like, after filming, he probably skipped out of there.
On that broken leg.
Just skipped out of there.
Yeah.
Did one of his famous bongs.
He did a famous bong rip on set. And he skipped out of there.
Yeah.
So I think there are a lot of people that are just like, yeah, that validates my opinions of these new movies and mm-hmm. George Lucas is hard done by, et cetera, and so forth. And look,
He is hard done by with his billions.
I know, right?
Yeah.
And I think it is, like, a lot of it, it's a valid.
I wish I was bloody hard done by billions of dollars.
You're not bloody wrong, mate. Like, I think a lot of it is, it's a valid, you know, criticism. But again, the Han Solo thing, like, I disagree with. I don't mind passing on the torch. I don't care where Rey got her powers from. It's just like whatever. That's
where
not
Luke
important.
Skywalker get his powers from?
His father. Where did he get his powers from? It was magic. They just said he was magic. He was born and he was magic. But speaking of the prequels, so
where'd that magic come from?
Where'd they come from?
Yeah.
So people who might be like, well, yeah, the prequels are better.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that's true. For the most part, I do need a rewatch. We are going to cover them, I think, soon for Caravan of Garbage, probably
terrific.
Closer to Obi-Wan. But she said, George is, this is about the prequels, in his heart and soul, a good guy and a talented filmmaker. I wish he would have kept directing other kinds of movies. But when I went to see episode one, I had a friend who worked at ILM who took me as a guest to a preview. I remember going out to the parking lot, sitting in my car and crying. I cried. I cried because I didn't think it was very good and I thought he had such a rich vein to mine, a rich palette to tell his story. He had all those characters. So there you go. So not really a fan of anything post to the original trilogy.
Well, you know, that's
which,
the
year. You
know,
a lot of people also.
That's the year she worked on. So,
yeah, exactly. But I think a lot of people also agree that, like, Star Wars have never been as good as since then.
And, you know, a lot of people who are out there going, like, you know, J.J. Abrams sucks and Rian Johnson sucks and all that, they all worked on the original Star Wars movies in the 70s. So
that's why their criticisms are valid.
That's why their criticisms are valid. So
yeah.
I think that's important. We've got to remember that.
Mm.
That when we go to Cosmic Book News or whatever. Gotta remember that guy worked on the Star Wars movies in the 70s.
He did. So look, I just think it's interesting that's like somebody who has such a close relationship with those original movies and just finding out what they think of the newer stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just is what it is. And if you like or hate these movies, it ultimately doesn't change that.
That's
so
true.
You know?
Yeah.
There you go.
It doesn't change what they're gonna make in the future.
Does it change you as a person?
Yeah.
All right. Let's go, Mason.
Oh, let's go.
Talk more
like,
Star Wars. Yeah, let's go.
Is this, mate. Is this the episode? Is this the one.
Episode 404. I keep looking at because it's a 404 document, like I've named it.
Oh,
I keep thinking it's an error.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, what have I done here?
See, that's the bloody error doing 404 episodes. This bloody
it's not bloody wrong. Yeah, or 402, as some people have.
400 episodes.
Yeah. So anyway, did you watch Star Wars Visions this week?
Sorry, what?
Oh, no.
I know, James. You know what's happened here.
What?
It's worlds are colliding.
They are.
Vaguely defined characters are finally colliding, James. Guess what? It's the guy who doesn't know what Star Wars is and presumably the guy who knows everything about anime.
Correct.
They're going to be
together at last.
Together at last. Here we go. So one of us can mainly stay totally silent through this while the other person regales us of tales of...
And what episodes... Like
are reminiscent of what, yes.
Which anime and manga.
Yeah.
A lot of which I've obviously picked up on without making any notes on it.
Yeah, that's true. And manga as well.
Yes,
wow.
Definitely.
Did you always know everything about manga?
Oh, no. I should point out, my knowledge of manga, although excellent, is not as good as my knowledge of anime.
Okay, right.
Because obviously a lot of anime has grounding in manga.
Mm-hmm.
Magna.
I've got a lot of anime in my Mitsubishi Magna outside. I've got a trunk full of anime in my Magna.
So there you go.
Which is a Japanese car.
Yes, that's right.
So,
it all ties in. You get it.
Yeah.
That's what I like about you, Mason.
No, just kidding. Let's do our regular personas, our regular characters, two idiots.
Do you want me to do some...
Who know some stuff about some stuff.
I would like to name some cast in this as well. This is
big
the English
cast. I went into this assuming that it was just going to be, you know, your Charles Martinets.
Yes.
But it turns out it's your Chris Pratts.
Yes.
But not exactly.
No. So we had Henry Golding was in one.
Yeah.
Simu Liu, Alison Brie, Temuera Morrison, David Harbour, Lucy Liu, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Karen Fukuhara, James Hong, Kyle Chandler,
Kari Hirayuki Tagawa.
Thank you.
Yeah.
He's Shang Tsung.
Yeah. Neil Patrick Harris is in it.
So just a really, again, English cast. There was also a Japanese dub of this because they are, what they've done, they've taken my favourite property, anime, and adapted a 9 Star Wars stories, but they're not tied into continuity, or some might be.
Yes.
And they're to invoke the feel of both anime and Japanese cinema paired with that of Star Wars, which makes sense because a lot of original Star Wars and Star Wars in general does have ties to Japanese films like of old.
Yeah. Wasn't Obi-Wan Kenobi originally going to be a sort of a Japanese...
Yes, he was supposed
to be... Japanese celebrity or famous actor.
Who was it?
We'll discover it later.
Yeah.
But then he turned it down, so they're like, oh, I guess we get Alec Guinness.
Yeah.
If the Japanese won't do it, we'll get to the British. But I'm not happy about it.
Wouldn't that? I mean, I like Alec Guinness a lot. Toshiro Mifune?
Okay. I wonder if the Star Wars universe as a whole would be more influenced by Japanese film.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan Kenobi in the first movie, maybe the production design there would have been like, well, give it more Japanese influences because, you know, this character is Japanese and et cetera. I wonder if it would be more like we saw in this.
Check this out. Check out this artist's rendition of what he would have looked like as Obi-Wan.
That's cool.
That's fucking sick, man.
He looks more solid than Alec Guinness does, definitely.
Yes,
that fight would have been more intense at the end of the first original Star Wars episode 1.
Episode
Star Wars, New Hope Star Wars.
So there you go. So that's really cool. So also there is some Hidden Fortress stuff in this because the last episode in particular, episode 9, which is Akakiri.
The bloody Rise of Skywalker, am I right?
Thank you.
Do you think they did 9 because there are 9 Star Wars movies?
Probably. I didn't think about that.
I didn't think about it either.
I was too busy thinking about the anime side of things.
Yeah.
But there's 2 comic relief characters in that which are very Hidden Fortress,
which in turn
are very R2-D2 because that's what they're loosely based off as well.
Well, we did get, you know, obviously this is because it's, you know, based around Star Wars, we did get a number of characters who are sort of like... Oh, we need a R2-D2 C-3PO. So like in there's an episode where it's 2 twins, like they're strong in the Force, they're raised by the Empire and they have a dual Star Destroyer situation.
Mm.
So it's Alison Brie and Neil Patrick Harris. And one of them has an evil C-3PO and one of them has an evil R2-D2.
I guess. Fun.
They're really I feel like the key motivator for a lot of actors taking these roles is you get to go all out.
Scream.
Like you get to do a lot of screaming.
Yep.
You get to live out your Star Wars fantasy.
You get to summon some power.
You get to summon some powers. Yeah, exactly.
Did you I think all in all this was a success.
Yeah.
I think there's so much really good stuff in here. Obviously it ebbs and flows in terms of the ones that I liked.
Uh-huh.
And what are the ones that stood out for you though?
I thought the opener was very strong.
The sort duel.
The duel, which is sort of based, like, it's anime, but it's obviously based around sort of Japanese films from, you know, I guess the 50s and 60s, sort of like it has that built in, it's black and white for the most, sort of, and it has
it felt to me like the game Ghosts of Tsushima. I think what it borrowed from, if anything, you know?
You think so? Do you think maybe Japanese cinema as a whole has borrowed from the game Ghosts of Tsushima?
It seems that way, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, at least some kind of acknowledgement from Japanese cinema as a whole would be nice.
Rather nice, right?
Yeah.
I thought that was really good.
The variation on the weapon, like the umbrella lightsaber.
Yeah, right. I'm like, that's stupid and it sucks.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and then I'm like, oh no, that absolutely tracks.
Yeah.
It's cool.
I like just the fact that like a lot of the hilts of a lot of these lightsabers are very kind of Japanese in nature, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
They've got like the ornate kind of handles and things like that you would see on a katana.
Yeah. And there's the moment in that episode where he says, okay, I'm gonna deal with this problem. Can you fix this droid by the time this pot boils kind of thing? And I'm like, is that a common thing in Japanese films of the era? It feels like it would be. A lot of this stuff I wonder if these episodes, it's the traditional style of these animation houses, or if they went, these are going to be seen by a Western audience. I wonder if we should really sort of ramp up the, like, people know Japanese cinema for this particular look and this particular style and the motion of the action, all that sort of stuff. Do we really ramp it up, or is that their natural kind of style? Because a lot of this stuff, there's an episode where a character looks very like Naruto. There's a Naruto style.
Is that
episode. It's the one where
the one with the rabbit sister.
Yeah, it's the one. It's the one where they look through the memories of the planet.
Yeah, the wedding, was that the wedding?
The wedding
one?
Episode. Yeah. Yeah. There's a girl on a speeder and she's got like the Naruto style helmet.
Yeah, okay.
I think that's that episode. Some of these were more distinct than others for me.
Sure.
Like the Mega Man episode where they're just like,
I thought that was more Astro Boy.
It's probably, but okay, well, I guess Mega Man is, you know, very probably patterned quite heavily on Astro Boy. But yeah,
it's interesting that I would pick that up though and you didn't.
Yeah, because you know, you were a famous anime Astro Boy. But that episode, it's just like, yeah, we're doing Astro Boy, we're doing Mega Man. Here it is. Like, there's Dr. Light or Dr. whatever he is in Astro Boy.
Yeah,
let's just do that, I guess.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
I enjoyed it also. Yeah, I wonder if they were like, okay, well, people know Astro Boy, people know Mega Man, people know, so let's do an episode like that. Or do you think their in house style traditionally is that at all? I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah, I that, you know, the Jewel, the Lone Warrior one. Yes. To spoil that one, and they're about 15 minutes each, give or take. But the reveal at the end is, or the reveal early on, that he's not a Jedi.
Yes.
He's some kind of Sith. Mm. But then the further reveal later is that he's a guy who was probably a former Inquisitor who's traveling the galaxy killing Inquisitors, it seems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So either he was a Jedi.
Yes.
And this is just the weapon that he used now, or he was a Jedi turned Inquisitor turned.
Is that where all
Jedi
the Inquisitors
again.
Come from in Star Wars?
Yeah. They're all former Jedis.
Oh.
Jedi.
Oh.
Yeah, so that was cool. Did you like the Tatooine Rhapsody one? It was a bit of a silly one.
Look, I did. It was very Star Wars meets Gorillaz, the animated
band.
Yeah,
totally, yeah.
I did, but I sort of had to skip through. I wanted to go back later, but I skipped through like all the actual music stuff. I'm like, this is a bit cringy. I don't know if I can watch this.
Was it a tad cringe, Mason?
It was a tad cringe. Yeah. But, you know, it's good to know there's a different style of music in Star Wars other than just simply jizz music, which is the... But I think it would have been fun if they just done a really like just an absolute searing rock and roll rendition of.
There is the disco version of that, I believe. Yeah, I quite liked the Ninth Jedi, which was where it was the nine Jedi assembling to find their lightsabers.
Yeah,
and the twist on that being because you see like the hologram of the guy who they're going to visit, who's going to give them lightsabers.
Yes.
And it's just a guy who looks like a villain.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like this Darth Vader looking dude.
Yeah, yeah.
And it turns out that most of the Jedi who came to visit are actually Sith come to destroy the last remnants of the Jedi.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I enjoyed that one a lot. Yeah. And the idea of like catching kyber crystals from space using giant harpoons to bring them back down to Earth to mine them to turn them into lightsabers. Uh-huh. I thought that was really... some cool imagery, yeah.
It's good stuff. It's good.
Good stuff, yeah.
I think people are out there being like, where does this sit in continuity? I don't think it has to.
I think some of it does, but then when you've got like the twins one, where it's like two people standing on the surface
of a Star Destroyer
shooting lightning and whatever and cutting into each other.
But I mean, you know, Princess Leia survived in space, so.
Yeah, but like I just don't think.
You just don't buy it, James.
It's just a bit. Like, they're all flying around in space right. for too long and whatever.
But also I feel like one of the things that I think people maybe don't factor in as much as they should with really any kind of Star Wars stuff
yeah.
is the idea of, you know, when they converted all the books, the old canonical books, into legend stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I like the idea of it's such a vast universe that you hear a tale about two twins fighting on top of a Star Destroyer and shooting lasers at each yeah. other. And maybe it's true, but maybe it's not. Maybe it happened differently. Maybe it happened on a planet. Maybe it didn't happen at all.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's just it's a story that somebody on a distant planet, like some sort of swamp planet, was telling somebody else just to liven up the
just
evening.
Just as a goof.
You know, just before they're consumed by a big swamp creature.
Exactly.
You know? Just tell, like, you know, these don't have to fit in a continuity. They don't have to, you know, the stuff doesn't have to work, that the technology doesn't have to work the same, or the force doesn't have to work the same as it
your
does in
the movie.
Your
sister can be a rabbit. That's
exactly.
fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just, you know, it's just a series of tall tales,
yeah.
and aren't they fun?
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. One of my other favorite ones is The Elder, which was also had my favorite kind of duel, like Star Wars lightsaber duel, which was like an efficient one.
Yes, exactly,
where you
yeah.
see, like, it's not just wailing on each other for
yeah,
40
yeah.
minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
You see every step that they make has like
it's a deadly game of chess. It's,
yeah, exactly. And yeah. I think it's done really well. And the fact that the old guy fights like an apprentice
uh-huh.
and very easily like dispatches him and then fights a more Obi-Wan Qui-Gon sort
yeah,
of
yeah.
guy and loses. And afterwards that guy's like, I shouldn't have won that. Like
yeah.
that, if anything, time beat that guy. Like I didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Hang on just a sec. Yeah, Claire?
I'm just grabbing something from the...
Oh, you're good? Yeah. Sorry, it shouldn't be long. Yeah, no,
we're going to take 10 hours.
We're never going to leave.
We're going to do this podcast for ages. Just the boys doing a podcast. Just the boys doing a podcast.
So,
the boys with some brews.
Just having a good time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought that one was really interesting.
Yeah, I love an efficient lightsaber battle.
And just the movement is
yeah,
very
yeah,
kinetic
yeah.
and realistic and like very weighty as well.
Yeah, it was. I feel like, you know, reminiscent. Perhaps not this one, but reminiscent of the final Obi-Wan versus Darth Maul duel.
Yeah, sure.
Where it's just like they don't have to be the longest battles.
No.
Like you said, they don't have to be like, you know, leaping through cityscapes and
yeah.
and wailing on each other and throwing big stuff at each other. Sometimes it is just a kind of samurai duel.
Yeah.
Like there's a standoff and then there's a stab.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it's over.
Well, that's what also I liked about how what eventually happened to Darth Maul in Rebels, that final fight.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not even a fight. Mm. It's like... it's like two or three moves and then it's finished.
Yeah.
And the fight in that, and I think you kind of see that here, the fight takes place before it takes place.
Yeah.
Like they take their footing and they pose however they need to.
Yeah.
And that's, it's already decided.
They strategize in their mind
yeah,
palaces.
Exactly. I was going to say, they strategize in their mind palaces.
They plan out a million moves in advance in their mind palaces.
That's it. But no, I don't have that much to say in general. Like I could get into each one specifically and what
yeah.
I liked about it. But
uh-huh.
I think if you don't like a particular one, they move at a clip and you're going to be at the next one
yeah,
anyway.
Exactly.
And
right.
I think the best ones for me.
I think that's the best thing you can say about content in the modern age.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, wait 15 minutes and there'll be another
thing. Yeah, I think this is probably just shows how basic I am and how easily pleased I am. Most of the ones I liked were the ones where that was a pretty good lightsaber fight.
Pretty
like,
good,
I think
right?
That's what it came down
pretty
to.
Pretty good.
On the whole. But if you have any final thoughts.
What was your favorite?
My favorite?
Big time five. Oh, look, I like the duel. And maybe it's they just. Maybe
yeah,
it's,
I liked the duel.
Maybe
I like the look of the duel
yeah,
as well.
Maybe it's the case of just because we saw it's the first one.
Yeah.
Or maybe they put it first because they felt it was strongest.
Yeah.
Or it's, you know, or maybe we just liked it because it's like, this look Japanese cinema. That's
yeah.
Pretty good. Look how good it's like.
That one does look really great.
But it, like it does, I mean, it's great and it, you know, it builds on the idea that Star Wars is, you know, kind of hidden fortressy.
Yeah.
And it feels like Western and like it's got it all.
It's got it all.
It's got an efficient death at the end.
Yeah, exactly.
It gets,
it's got it all.
Yeah.
So all in all, Mason, would you say it's the best Star Wars ever made?
Yeah, I would. Yeah. Undoubtedly. Indisputably.
Well, for me, I didn't think it... I paled in comparison to a lot of my favourite animes.
Like, give me an example of one anime that's better.
I'll give you an example.
Yeah, like one
just to pick one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've gone blank because they're all whizzing through my mind.
Or just pick, like...
Boy, then.
Oh, yeah. that is the best anime of all time.
I didn't say the best. There's just one of...
Wow.
You know?
Yeah, it's up there. Yeah, yeah.
I also like...
Some would say that your refusal to take a stance is cowardly.
No.
Or maybe like an indication you don't know as much about anime as you say, but I disagree, and I think it's probably your intense knowledge of anime.
Yeah.
That actually
it's rendered me
it's rendered you paralyzed by choice
of anime
I mean, you could name some obscure stuff, like some really obscure stuff that, but then you're just naming stuff, aren't you?
Exactly.
Like,
I'm just
and
bragging.
Probably people who listen to this would be like, "What's he? They're just random syllables." I'm just saying.
At that point, I'm kind of alienating.
And
fans.
Probably also like your pronunciation of the Japanese stuff would be so accurate that I think people listening, like Western ears, would be like, "I don't even understand what he's saying."
Exactly.
Because they're
they might even consider it wrong.
Yeah.
Because their depth of knowledge is in the same.
Yeah. So
as mine.
I would say, like, you've absolutely made the right call by saying Astro Boy there.
Do you know what it's time for then?
Well, is it time for what we're reading?
It is.
What are we going to read?
Let's do it.
Whoa.
I'm doing the thing. Westworld.
Oh, my goodness. I haven't got to Federation yet, but I will because I'm excited.
No, I haven't watched Federation either.
I've received a tweet just mere moments ago that's like, hey, you're in Federation.
Why?
Because there's a man with a beard. There's a man with a beard there,
James.
That's
anybody.
No, it's me. I'm in it. I mean, it's a man. He's got a beard.
Yep.
He's wearing some odd colors. He looks sad. That's me.
It's not you, Mason.
No, that's me.
All right, it's you. I believe you.
It's me.
If you're willing to roll with me, in this obvious lie that I know anything about anime.
Cool.
I'm happy to do this.
Nice. What have you been reading?
I've been watching a lot of anime, but I might give that a rest this week and talk about something else.
Okay, let's do it.
I've been reading a comic. It just started. It's called Last Flight Out from Mark Guggenheim. And Eduardo Ferragato.
Oh, very
good. Very Ferragato. Yes. So it's when Earth is redeemed uninhabitable, humanity has chosen
it's
to
what?
Uninhabitable.
Rendered.
Rendered.
Okay.
Like they rendered it over.
Yeah.
You know,
with
a concrete mixture.
I understand.
Humanity has chosen to evacuate to the stars, but with this just 24 hours left into the last arc, designed to evacuate Earth's residents, leaves forever. Its designer's estranged daughter goes missing. So basically the guy who's been making the arcs, who's been neglecting his daughter in doing so, his daughter goes missing. He has to find her because it's the last chance to get off the planet.
Whoa.
So most people have already left, and anybody who's not leaving on the last one is like, the world's not really dying and we're staying on Earth or whatever.
Yeah, right.
So, but the Earth will be dead in like 5 years, so they're all going to be dead anyway. Yeah. So it's got a lot of like, you know, parallels to people who don't believe in science, I guess.
And interesting.
Yeah. Not to give any real-world examples or anything, but you know what I'm talking about.
My goodness.
Anyway, it's only one so far, but I very much enjoy it. Do you have another anime you want to talk about?
Great question. You know what I read this week? I read, when I was a kid, I had like an issue of a Marvel magazine called Rampaging Hulk. It was like a black and white, like large format magazine. I had issue 3, and I remember thinking about it. I must have got it at like a secondhand store or like a, you know, op shop or something.
Yeah. Did you find it? We're like, oh, I want that.
Yeah, I must have done.
Yeah.
I'm like, I never read the rest of it. So I went back and I read all these old issues from the 70s, like these old kind of
good?
Interesting.
But?
Bad. No, just kidding. I think they're quite good. They're very like, I think, because it's black and white magazine format. Maybe if you want to bring up some and just use your technology.
Give me the name again.
Rampaging Hulk magazine. There was a version.
I put in the wrong version.
There was a version in the 90s, but there was like one in the 70s as well. And it was just sort of like their story is like set in the 60s, but they have like modern at the time sensibilities. They're very wordy.
Yeah, they are very wordy. Good art though.
Great art. It's like sort of.
My God.
I don't know, like what? Like it's that there was a certain era of the 70s where it's like there was this sort of black and white pencil like magazine art, like heavy metal style.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Look at some of this stuff, man. I guess it's because you don't need to color it.
Yeah.
So you can add a lot of those details.
But it's interesting. And there's also, I think we mentioned, there's a backup story.
Look at that.
Yeah, it's good.
It's amazing.
Yeah, a lot of detail. Yeah. I don't know if I took them off the internet. I don't know if they're available as a collection in any like real sense, but they should be. It's also got like a backup story of one of my sort of forgotten Marvel favorites, which is a guy called Bloodstone, who's like a legendary immortal monster hunter.
Mm.
He's got a big open shirt with like a gem in his chest that makes him immortal, and he goes around and fights monsters.
You a big fan?
Yeah, big fan.
I like him.
Yeah.
I don't know him.
Right.
But I like him.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
When is the last time he was in the thing?
Oh, I don't know. He has a daughter called Elsa Bloodstone who appears every once in a while.
Does he have a first name?
Ulysses.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
But I don't know. I think he was killed off in like the early 80s or something like that. He appeared in, I think, there's a series called The Lost Generation, which is set in between like the original Marvel stuff. and the modern day Marvel stuff, you know, because the gap keeps
widening. Oh, yeah. Okay.
So I think he's in that.
Oh, that's from like 2000.
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't familiar with this at all.
Yeah.
Is that a little MODOK maybe?
Might be a little MODOK. So I've been reading those.
That's really cool. Yeah, I love these characters.
Yeah, but again, it's like that, like when we for our Big Sandwich Comic Book Club.
Yeah.
When we covered Secret Wars. Not yes. Secret Wars. When we covered
the other one.
Crisis on Infinite Earths. It's from you've gotta be okay with the conventions of the era. And in both of these cases, it's so much text and so much explaining. But the art is great, like that pencil work. I think it's really cool.
Good, good. All right.
Have I watched or done anything else?
Maybe. I don't have anything. I know that I don't have anything. Claire has a baby shower.
Oh, she's you're right. And we're going to live stream it. Yeah, yeah. So we're going to get out of here fairly shortly.
Even though my baby is well over a year old. But, you know, these things keep getting
this isn't somebody else's baby.
No, this is ours.
Oh.
Yeah.
Shouldn't you be there for that?
No, it's not for men. It's for women, mate.
Oh, okay.
Men go to pub.
Women. You do go to pub.
No, I'm going to take my kids to the park. So, yeah, that's starting in about a minute.
Okay, well, we should knock this out.
Let's get on by.
Let's flip out. Do some letters.
Let's do some letters.
Classic one was letters, oh, letters, we love you. Some letters, they're only a day away.
We're going to hear right now. We're going to do letters.
If you do want to reach the show, hashtag WeeklyPlanetPod on Twitter or WeeklyPlanetPod@gmail.com. Mm. This is from Dustin Danger Stevens, who says, hashtag WeeklyPlanetPod, potential future episode topic, adaptations that are better than the source material. I recommend Under the Red Hood and I, Zombie.
Interesting.
I do like Under the Red Hood. I've never seen I, Zombie. The only one I can think of off the top of my head, though I'm sure there are others, is Kingsman, but not Kingsman 2.
Yeah, right, yeah. Yeah, we could definitely do an episode on that.
Yeah,
American Psycho, the movie's better than the book,
agreed.
In my opinion.
Anything else?
No, that's it. We've covered it. So we've done the episode, so that's perfect.
I'm trying to think if there's many anime which are better than the manga it's based on.
Oh, my goodness, this guy.
Again, there's paralyzed by choice.
Attack on Titan, perhaps?
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. I mean, it's a pretty common one. You probably want to...
There we go. You're getting good at the deflection, which is good. Because if you'd said anything of any substance, if you'd been like, well, it's actually quite different, like people would be like, no, it's not, or yes, I don't know. That's the thing. But you're like, that's... Okay, that's very good.
I like that topic, though.
Yeah, that's good.
What do you got?
This is from Stephen. Subject line, lied to my boss.
Yeah.
Stephen says, I have taken a week off from work to work on my house I just bought and have subscribed to Big Sandwich and listened to all the back catalogue of Time Capsule. And we got this covered. Hopefully, if you've
Thank
read...
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hopefully something.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, guys, for giving me sweet, juicy content. Totally worth the money.
Wow, thank you so much. That's very kind of you to both donate and also be like... Thanks for the stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
Two things.
Pretty good, right?
Yeah, and lying to your boss. That's really, really cool.
Yeah.
I have a tweet here, if you don't mind, Mason.
I don't mind at all.
Well, then let's get into it. It's from Brian, who says, hey, guys, my favorite movie of all time is The Lost Boys, and I was curious to know if you guys would ever do a Caravan of Garbage for that movie, especially now with the news of a remake coming, hashtag WeeklyPlanetPod. I did hear about the remake. I've never seen Lost Boys.
Ah.
Vampire one, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But you've seen like Oily Saxophone.
I know what it is. Like I've seen the
But have you seen Oily Saxophone?
I've seen
Man.
And then I've seen the John Hamm like Saturday Night Live parody thing. Yeah, I've seen a bunch of stuff about it.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Vampires are, you know, they're slowly trickling back into the mainstream.
They have to.
We're gonna get Blade soon enough.
Yes.
Give us another Lost Boys.
I completely agree. Let's do it.
You could bring back Jack Bauer.
They could call it the Found Boys.
Found Boys.
Is anybody coming back?
Don't know.
Let's check.
Kiefer Sutherland would come back.
He definitely
would.
I don't know.
I don't know anything about him. But
actors already cast. Lost Boys has already happened. Lost Boys is making a comeback. Warner Brothers developing a new version, blah, blah, blah. Its lead is in Jaden Martell from Quiet Place, something, something. Is it good, the original? I know it's like camp and people are like... You know, it's got like a lot of cult. Like,
yeah, I wouldn't go back to it, but I know a lot of people would. Maybe I should, though.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's everything I've got. Have you got anything else?
Yeah, this is from an email from someone whose name I'm probably going to pronounce correctly, and you'll know why in a moment.
Okay.
The name is probably Rojley. And he says, can't believe my country was in a Marvel property.
What?
Hey, Nick and James, long-time listener and have been patiently waiting for years for a stupid reason to write to you. And there it was in episode 7 of What If, at exactly 27:50, little Slovenia was acknowledged by the big bad Marvel Corporation when we see part of southern and central Europe.
Very good.
Yeah. So here I am writing to you, but not coming up with something witty or a badass story of how I fooled a person listening to your podcast, and I tried. The only thing I can offer is this story of how one time I almost fell off a rock while listening to you during a field day alone in a goodness forsaken forest. Who do we have there?
Who's that?
Your son?
That's my son. He's booing us. Don't boo us. We're doing a show.
You should cheer us.
You say, yay, show.
This is going out to the whole world.
Everybody in the world listens to this.
No.
Do you want to come closer?
Mum's doing a baby shower.
Yeah, so I have to finish up?
All right.
Tell Mum I'll be there in a minute and tell her that I'm super cool. Make sure you add the second thing, okay?
Oh, you're great. He's not going to, though.
He'll do it.
Yeah. Okay, now the question is obviously. There we go. Yes! Good work, buddy.
I know people heard that, but he said he will not do it. Okay. But sorry, go on.
Well, I was gonna say, how are we gonna monetize that?
I don't know.
I mean, up until just then.
There was no like catchphrase in there,
I mean, Mum's doing a baby shower. We can't put that on a t-shirt. Mum's doing a baby shower at the Weekly Planet. It's not gonna work, is it? He's let us down. But then he said, no, I will not do that. Which I think is pretty that works on a t-shirt.
It's fine.
No, I will not do that. And then maybe like and we're lazing around on the couch or something. You know, the characters, the little things, you know. Avatars or whatever.
That's
pretty
right.
Good. He says, you've been a constant weekly reminder of weeks passing as I await my Monday morning commute to fire up your newest episode. Wish you the best. Best regards. Then he said something in what I can only assume is Slovenian. Lep pozdrav.
Oh, very
which
good.
Is probably Slovenian.
Look,
for
man,
best regards.
I mean, he would know as good as any, I guess, that as well as any, that we love a local reference.
Yes, we do, yeah.
When we're watching a thing and then they mention Australia or even get more specific, you know.
But
what I mean?
Imagine, like, Australia is in that regard is pretty common because we get, you know, they always give us an Australian reference. So, oh, there's portals opening over Sydney or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh,
you know.
In Slovenia, probably less, unless it's like a joke, like, oh, look at the goat herders or whatever. No?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's cool.
That is cool.
Mm.
All right, that's the show.
Yes.
We better wrap it up because I got to
get
inside.
Yeah, we should wrap it up. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Next week, all letters.
All letters all the time. Send
just
as many letters
out,
as you can.
Just clear out the inbox.
Exactly. I don't know what next week is actually. We'll figure it out. Yeah. Ghostbusters, I don't know if you heard, the Australian date has been announced.
Is it bad?
It's January 2nd.
That's
a long way away. Not November or whatever.
Oh, that's a very long way away, isn't it?
Yeah, there you go.
Wow. Yeah. All right, well, folks, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for liking it. Thank you for telling your friends about it. Thank you for leaving a 5-star review on whatever platform you can do that on. It very much helps.
Hells
James,
yes.
You got any there?
Yeah, I actually do have a couple right here. I didn't actually open or bring them up, but I'm going to do a couple right now if you don't mind, Mason. I should have prepared for this because we are actually already out of time and yet.
Claire's got a baby shower.
She's got a baby
Sorry,
shower.
Mum's got a baby Mum's shower.
Mum's got a baby shower.
The Weekly Planet
podcast.
And we're there in the studio. We're like, we don't have time, right? The avatars are there, and they're like,
we're too busy having brewskis.
We got some brewskis. The avatars are holding brewskis.
Oh, there we go. Dog just says, it's from a person who says, I want dog. It says, dog, as a huge fan, I'm disappointed they have never had a dog as a special guest on the show. That is true, actually. And Dan's written, 5 stars. I normally never write a review, but this is just so good. I've been listening for years, and it's the best podcast I've ever heard. I normally listen whilst at the gym, but sometimes laugh so hard I'm afraid of dropping the weights on my head. 5 stars.
Nice.
Thank you very much.
Just do it in the app. It's very easy, folks. If you want to get in contact with us, you can go to weeklyplanetpod@gmail, at Facebook, at Twitter, at Bandcamp. You can find a good friend of the show, Rob Collings. He is on Twitter at @RawCollings, at The Weekly
One of the greats.
Planet. He is the best. You can
doing the What If episodes.
That's right. One to go, two to go.
Two to go.
You can find me on Twitter at Wikipedia Brown, Instagram, Nick Maso, NickMaseau. James is Mr. Sunday Movies everywhere. You can also go to the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group if you want to just have fun, good time chats about all kinds of nice stuff. There's also a Discord. There's also a Reddit subreddit, and they're very good times. Everybody's having a good time. So many members. Folks, if you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/MrSundayMovies. James is putting his hand towards the stop button. I got to get this. He's going very slowly. He's going to have to reset a couple of times.
If it cuts off, it's fine.
Oh, no! You can go to Patreon. What, even during the Patreon read, James?
Yes, Mason.
Oh, my God, patreon.com/MrThunderMovies. You can chuck in a buck if you want, or any amount that you wouldn't miss. We put it in there. Don't do it if you're struggling at all in any possible way. You can also go to BigSandwich.co. You can sign up for $9 reduced per month, and you get all sorts of bonus podcasts and early videos and t-shirts at tpublic.com. So search for the Weekly Planet. Thank you to the Brute and the Basilisk and Rackham for all the musical themes. And that's the show next week. We don't know, but we're going to do it. Grab that jam, you guys, next week.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.